So when did you go into your environmental schemes?
When we sold the cows.
And did you go into it in a big way then?
As much as we could. We've got probably 20 hectare in it, so that's because I'm very interested in wildlife and conservation, as my wife will tell you, with all my stuffed birds around the house.
And what have you had to do?
HLS, we've fenced out all the streams that we've got. We've got two main streams that come down through the farm, one called the Hamps and one called Westbrook. They both converge at my mother-in-law's to form the Hamps, which then runs in through waterhouses. And we've fenced off all the ditches, and we only graze these once or twice a year. There's been a significant increase in flowers and wildlife since then. I absolutely love it, and I wouldn't be without it, and I get paid for it. I am interested in it, so it's not been a problem for me. I wouldn't like to think that the payments would end. I don't think they will for HLS, but the belt's tightening, isn't it? And the schemes on the periphery of HLS are seem to be getting knocked now, like ELS and UELS.
Is it something that you would be able to do without funding?
I would do without funding, but financially wise, it wouldn't be worth it.
Wouldn't make sense.
It wouldn't make sense. No. So I think the vast majority wouldn't do it if there was no funding.
And do you think that's a big downside for the countryside?
Yes, very much so.
So it's very important that this is recognised and...
Absolutely paramount. Mm. Paramountly recognised, yes. We do need a mosaic of a patchwork, so to speak, of different species of grass and different environmental schemes, so they can like be joined up, so to speak. It's no good having one designated area for wildlife and then the whole rest of it just be a biological desert, because you have to have areas, you know, the species, any species that seems to like a particular area would go into another area amongst intensive grassland. So a mosaic of environmental areas is a must.
So what have you got on the farm that's really improved?
Well, we started 4 years ago growing whole crop. That's really done well because our soils are quite strong, although we're like 1,000 foot and above. We grew whole crop for the first year in the coldest field on the farm. It did absolutely marvellously. And then we've done that 3 more years since. We get paid for that on the scheme. The benefit of it for me is that we don't spray them. We fertilise it, but we don't spray it. So that weed seeds do come into it eventually throughout the summer while it's growing.
Like what?
Fat hen, chickweed and red leg. Those are the beneficial seeds for, say, ground nesting birds, like skylark and meadowpipit, linnet and goldfinch and other finches. They really love those weed seedlings once the crop's been cleared.
So you're growing this whole crop, you're not spraying it, and yet you're finding the crop is satisfactory for your use?
Yes.
And also it's got a wildlife benefit.
Absolutely. It is fertilised, I must say, and we treat it well with fertilisers, so if we get it off to a good start, but we only set the corn in spring. We don't do it in autumn because we have to leave it fallow throughout the winter for those particular species and that particular aspect that we're talking about, weed seedlings for overwintering birds. Whilst the crop's growing, of course, it's growing from the end of April. We try to get in by the end of April, and we don't harvest it till about the end of July, which coincides with second cut silage, or third cut as the case may be. And we track that in between the second and third cut, or the first and second cut, so no vermin can get at it. It's important, that is. But whilst that crop's growing for 3 months, obviously ground nesting birds such as lapwing and curlew, and of course meadowpipit and skylark, they find a real good role of the whole crop, be able to like nest there because they're undisturbed for 3 months. And that's what it's all about.
So it's a good shelter from predators for them as well.
I don't think the predators make much difference in those sort of conditions because it's too dense for them.
That's what I mean. So if your lapwings and curlews were in your pastures, which are fairly open, And there are a lot of predators, aren't there?
Yes, there are. And they're easy to find because, you know, badgers and things come, they just like mop.
Hoover everything up.
Whereas in the whole crop, it really starts growing heavily in late May, and that's just when the ground nesting birds are getting into nesting.
So what all the wildlife species have done well while you've been in the scheme?
Skylarks done absolutely fantastic.
You've got lots.
You must have 20 pairs of skylarks. Those have really been the number one benefit of skylark. And then meadow pipits, they've done just as well. And in the spring when we're actually ploughing the ground, we have about 4 or 5 pairs of wheat ears. They don't always stop, but I think one pair always nests on our farm because we always see throughout the summer. We've definitely probably got more hares through having the whole crop because they found habitat for that as well in the whole crop.
And then you've got a pretty pair of barn owls.
We did have. Barn owls took a bit of a dive about 4 years ago. I'm sure you can remember,
2010.
Sheila, when that very late snow and ice and frost came just for 2 days and the high winds. It wiped most of the kingfishers and barn owls out around here. But I think they will come back. There is the odd sightings of the barn owls around here, but prior to 2010, ours was called the hotspot of the moorlands. Mm. We had with the young 15 barn owls, youngsters, the Staffordshire Wildlife Trust did, in those preceding years, every year, didn't they?
Have you had an increase in predators?
No, I don't think so. No, we've got a few more buzzards, might have a few more foxes, but I don't see those.
What about our corvids?
Now you're talking, yes.
Mm.
Yes, the jackdaw population, that's gone manic, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. Carrion crows are about the same. Rooks, we've got 3 sets of rooks on our farm.
Rooks are not usually a problem with little birds, so are they?
No, but I can't imagine them not having a few eggs if they come to land on the floor. So probably rooks are probably a bit of a problem, although they're normally grub hunters, mm-hmm. and they'll actually probably help you with your plough fields.
They love leather jackets, don't they?
Mm. Probably just touching on the rest of our HLS. We have lots of orchids, and those definitely have increased since the areas that we've shut up have been managed. And the managing of it is left to me, really, and I'm given guidelines by Natural on what to do, but I don't always go with every letter of what they say.
Well, it's horses for courses, isn't it? I mean, no one feels the same as the other, is it?
No.
And, we've found it's better light grazing, haven't we?
Yes.
The areas, rather than letting them grow up.
Yeah, stuff can get smothered, can't it?
Yeah. But if we do get an area that's very heavily populated with grasses and it's got out of control, we mob graze it. We let big animals in and they kind of get rid of all the briars. Because they just rip them to pieces with the feet, and we found by mob grazing like that, it gets lots of fresh air in to the bushes. But our area is like a punctuated with lots of a pleasure to go and have a look at it. I've seen springtime, lots of primroses, swarming primroses, and I think keeping those areas grazed out reasonably well helps the primrose, and then. We kind of find a new flower every year, which I'm very pleased with because I know most of the flowers that are on my property, on our property, I should say, to say. Last year we found the lesser old marsh valerian, which comes out in spring, very early in the spring. It's a beautiful flower. And we also found the trailing St. John's wort, which is only very small flowers, but like yellow pimpernel. So, very pleased about that, and I'm sure we'll find some more new ones. We've got about 150 species of flowers growing in our valleys, which is a very high density of flowers, but if you bear in mind that they've been there for thousands of years, and when they've been grazed off really tightly, you never see them. But how we manage it now, you do. And we get lots of orchids. We've got the common spotted orchid, and also the southern marsh orchid, and occasionally we see the fragrant orchid, but not very often. And it just depends if you're there at the right time.
And I suppose you wouldn't be able to manage it without cattle, would you?
Absolutely. Those are a must.
Cattle are vital, aren't they?
Cattle are absolutely vital, and I think lots of wildlife, not the wildlife trust, but lots of wildlife enthusiasts seem to think keeping cattle away from managed strips of grassland so it can grow wild is just totally, it just doesn't work. Cattle are the basis for encouraging seedlings which haven't really come out of their own.
And they say birds, don't they? You know, you will have more birds where there's cattle.
Yeah, and you will have more birds where there's more flowers.
Mm. Do you see any downsides with the schemes?
Not really. If it continues in its present state, then the payments for the HLS are, I would never say adequate, but they are better than lots more schemes. It's just a pity they haven't got more money to be able to roll out a few more HLS areas, which some farmers could probably take on board and try to propagate.